Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I was preparing the house for the fall today. Very happy with the state of the security. The house is well arranged. I've been patching some holes in the walls so that we get better insulation. Tomorrow I'll be receiving a delivery of fuel for my reserves for the winter. Things are going well. The security is top. I've been also reviewing some security aspects of the computers, updates on everything, servers. I'm super happy. I feel relieved. Yes, it is an MMA match between Musk and Zuckerberg. Lendald Guntram has raised a point that I hadn't thought about, but it's true that Zuckerberg has lizard energy. Being from the lizard people, and you never know how it will play out. It's not been tested. We typically, people who are attracted to MMA are not lizard people. Will there be a kind of upset surprise here where lizard powers show up in the match? I don't know. Personally, I'm rooting for Elon Musk, and When I really root with my heart, I will bind my rationality to this. I will find an explanation for why Elon Musk must be the winner. I think it's going to boil down ultimately to a weight question. Zuckerberg is definitely a favorite from the cardio perspective, a favorite probably from the training perspective. He's going to be more muscular than Musk no matter what. But ultimately, weight is very important. There's a reason there are weight classes in MMA. And someone was asking on the Discord, will they have to drop weight? Will they have to drop to a certain weight? Very often with the celebrity matches, there are no weight requirements. And so, or there is a weight requirement so high that it's easy to pass for both. So it's very possible that that Musk will be able to keep his weight advantage, and that might be 15 kilos, that is 30 and more than 30 pounds advantage over Zuckerberg. And 30 pounds matter. It matters in wrestling. It matters in hitting. You have just more energy behind everything, and you're more costly to displace. So I think that the weight of Musk will, I hope that it will win, and I think that it will win. Silver Spider says, I also want to know JF's prediction on Jake Paul versus Nate Diaz. I wasn't aware that this was happening. Is it a boxing match or is it a MMA match? Certainly, Nate Diaz would be my favorite here. I don't think that Jake Paul has shown us a professional level of competitive capabilities. I think it's been interesting to see him, but we're still talking about an amateur, in my view, compared to a Nate Diaz, who is an erudite of the field. I don't see him. Jake Paul beat Diaz last night. Well, there we go. The proof that I didn't know what I was talking about. I truly didn't know that this was going on. I'll be watching the match. I'm interested in seeing how it turned out, how it happened for Nate Diaz. That is interesting that he succeeded at beating him. Now, what we're probably having here is an old Nate Diaz, so probably not the best of the Nate Diaz, but I can understand that him having aged and perhaps trained less than he would normally train might have led to an upset here. Go Away says, nah, fam. Zuck is too young and fit. Remember that photo Ye posted of Musk on that boat? He is not fit at all. Rip, Musk, was nice knowing you. I mean, fitness is a thing, but being from the Pride Championship days, you know, I remember these small Japanese 110 pounds against... what was his name? The big footballer. Oh, my God. I forget his name, but it was so imprinted in my memory. How can I forget who this guy was? He was amazing. He was like, I don't know, maybe 380 pounds, 400 pounds. It was spectacular to see those matches. Not Butterbean. No, not Butterbean. A black football guy, black guy who came from the football domain, and he was fighting in the Pride Championships. I'm sure someone in the crowd will know who I'm talking about. Yeah, she has no idea what comes next. I'm at Old Fooled, and oh my God, this is... Oh yeah, Bob Sake! The way the Japanese... Sappy! Oh yeah, Sap with PP. The way the Japanese would say his name, that was the best thing. Bob Sappy!
Yeah, Whole Foods, and I'm about to pay for my groceries with my... That's the coolest thing ever. I'm at Whole Foods, and I'm about to pay for my groceries with my...
The revolutionary phenotype, ladies and gentlemen, it starts at Whole Foods. How ironic that it starts at Whole Foods, the combination between man and machine in a fucking grocery store that makes it all about not having GMOs. You guys are modifying yourselves to go buy organic food that is not modified. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We see more of those videos. I had shown one, but here's another one where a plane is fighting against crosswinds before landing. Look at this. Totally lateral displacement, and that is just part of the maneuver. Reaches very close to the ground and turns at the last minute. Wow. Fighting the crosswind. Wow. Spectacular performance. I would be very nervous if I was in these planes, seeing, you know, hey driver, you are headed toward the field right now. And he'd be like, no, Jeff, I got this under control. We have a massive fire at a plastic recycling plant right here. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Apparently, it's been just happening recently. I mean, how much pollution is that? I wonder, if I drive my car, how long is it before I produce this amount of pollution? Just this one cloud here. Like, if I heat my home with the logs that I chop myself with my axe and my chainsaw, how long is it? How many winters can I heat my home fully with logs before I produce this? This amount of pollution. So basically, this whole recycling thing is we're stacking plastics and eventually it's going to burn. Eventually there's going to be an accident And the more we recycle, the more the plastic gets concentrated and all ready for ignition. I mean, look at the jet of water that the firemen are capable of shooting. This will be almost meaningless.
Oh my god. Bro, I can't believe.
All right, well, that is recycling objective not achieved. Scott Adams was talking about me on his show. He didn't say much, so I'm not going to have much to answer, but he mentioned me.
All right. I saw one prediction from Jean-François Garibier. And if you don't mind, I'm going to pronounce his name again just for my own fun. So you could talk among yourselves, but I'd like to wrestle with his name a little bit more. Jean-François Garibier. I hope that's close. Anyway. All right, he has a...
Not super close. Jean-François Garibier. That would be the way to say it in Quebecois. Jean-François Garibier.
He has a white-pilling kind of a opinion that if you have a bunch of AI digital fake women, it will make the real human women who are trying to look pretty on social media a dime a dozen. Because if right now, if you see a beautiful woman on social media, you say to yourself, whoa, a real live beautiful woman. But suppose 9 out of 10 of them were not real. What if 9 out of 10 are just not real? Well, you would maybe slowly or even quickly decide that looking at these pictures on social media was just not doing it for you anymore. Because it was just... You would just be overwhelmed with the same look, right? You would just, yeah, it's perfect. Then when you saw a real human, you'd be like, oh, a little flawed. So one thing might be that the AI, you know, women posing on AI may become a thing of the past because they would be competing with AI and losing. The AI would just look better. So maybe, but I think that... I think the real big change is going to be people having real AI companions.
I love that pretty much everyone who contests my view on this, they all start with, maybe. You know you got something. You know you got a solid prediction when everyone is acknowledging at first, well, yeah, maybe.
Companions. All right, let's talk about politics.
So he says people will always want real companions. But that's my whole point. My whole point is you've changed the market dynamic that the current ETOTs are not real companion. But the AI will be extremely able to imitate the ETOT. Basically, all inputs and outputs of the ETOT, the AI will soon be able to reproduce. The one thing that the AI won't be able to give you is reproductive hope. Of course, putting the revolutionary phenotype aside. So that's the whole point. If AI will have more facility at imitating the fake signal, as Ragnard Antoni says, Scott misses this point. The fake signal is on the human hand. Exactly. I don't know if he misses that point because he laid out pretty clearly my theory. But yeah, he seems to not understand that if you take away the ETOT signal, this part, this fake part of the signal is competed away from existence. What's left is women can only fight with their decency and with their reproductive powers. And someone was sending me another clip of this video where he's not talking about me specifically, but someone wanted me to review this opinion of his. It's about evolution, and he will claim that genes don't matter because they dissolve themselves you know, down the generations. And that is the fallacy. And let's make a clip about this. So Scott Adams is presenting a fallacy on his show of you shouldn't care about what happens down the line to your genes, because your genes are going to be end up so mixed that it won't matter, that you'll only have a little piece of anyone, and therefore it doesn't matter. I would say to Scott Adams, that is entirely incorrect. It doesn't stop mattering that you have impacts in the world, because those impacts are divided. Because you, the other side of the middle of the mechanism you talk about, which is, yes, your genes are getting split, they're getting crossed over, even the chromosomes are getting divided, and yes, you are diluting yourself away into the future generations. But the other side of the middle is, for every moment of dilution, you are spreading into more people and you are having more impact into the physical world. All of it balances fully, such that, yeah, down the line, five generations down the line, there's probably not going to have someone who has my 32 chromosomes, all of them aligned in the same way. But there's going to be 32 people, each of them having one of my chromosomes for sure. Or there's going to be even more than 32 if you take for granted a crossover at the sexual level, which is that chromosomes, they split at a certain place and they recombine with the female side of the same chromosome. So all in all, you end up having the very same impact as if you were to have left your genome in whole. The fallacy is as follows. We evolve to care about what's proximate to us. We evolve to care about the fate of our children and our grandchildren a little bit. And then our great-great-grandchildren, well, the occasion doesn't show enough throughout evolutionary time for us to evolve a strong instinctual response to great-great-grandchildren. But that doesn't mean that rationally it is not as important. In fact, I would argue it is all that matters. The continuity of a type, of a genomic type, throughout the centuries across the multiple generations. And yes, it matters. It doesn't matter that you won't find yourself fully reformed into one of your descendants. Each of the genes that you would have contributed will change the world in its own ways. There is a difference between a world where my genome has been spreading and my genome has not been spreading, and instead some other genome came in. This other genome will have different characteristics. If it is not European, it will have different behaviors. It will encode different behaviors in the societies that inherit it. So let's listen to what Scott has to say.
Let me finish the point I was going to make. If you're worried that your goal is to spread your genes, I've heard people say that if you don't get married and have kids, you failed in life, because your primary goal is to spread your genes.
Pretty much, yes. Now, there are situations where you are unable to do that, and there are other measures of success that a sterile person could enjoy, contributing to the well-being of their brothers and their sisters' children. But yeah, other than this, totally.
How many of you think that way?
I think that way.
That would be a good definition of success.
That is the only definition that matters. Everything else that you do, cartoon drawings, intellectual reflection, having a Lamborghini, all of it is to impress females so that that you end up making more babies.
That is you, you know, lives on in your children. Well, I saw somebody say that on social media today. And here's the reframe for that. by the fourth generation, all of your contribution will be randomized.
You are mistaking here dilution with randomized. And being together doesn't be not being together for two genes or for two chromosomes doesn't mean not having any impact, nor does it mean that the impact will be random. Your chromosomes may be divided, but they will have impacts in exponentially growing number of individuals.
Right. When you get together with one mate and you have a kid, it's about half you. When that kid gets married and has another kid, it's maybe a quarter of you, but you're not even guaranteed that, right?
Approximately a quarter.
Because it's not really half and half ever. You're not even guaranteed that you got your half. By the time you're the fourth...
But you are focusing in an exponential function, you are focusing on individuals. The story that you're not telling here is that you had more than one kid, and they had more than one kid, and their kids had more than one kid. You are trying to focus people on a single line of descent and noting correctly, well, that one person is more diluted. It's further away from me. My great-grandchildren are further away genetically from me than my children. Yes, there is a dilution effect happening. There is also an exponential growing effect happening in where these genes end up. They end up in more and more and more individuals. And if you just make three babies per generation, let's take a number that will be easy to work with exponentials of two. If you make four babies, you have one copy of you in the descendant generation. Because each of these babies, you have one more copy of you in the next generation than there is in this one. Because each of these babies is 0.5 you. So we have 0.5 plus 0.5 plus 0.5 plus 0.5. That gives us 2. So you are twice represented in the next generation. Now, if these babies each make 4 babies, that's 4 times 4, that's 16. Now, these 16 people may be 0.25 related to you, but that's 0.25 times 16. 0.25 times 16 gives us 4. Down the next generation, they may be 12.5% related to you, but you have 16 times 4. You have 64 grandchildren, 64 great-grandchildren. So yes, they are 12.5% related to you, but there are 64 of them. And so you end up with 8 representation of your genome at the great-grandchildren level. And the next generation, the fifth one, where you would be diluted at the 6.25% level, you end up with 16 representations of your genome at this generation. Now, they are diluted. They are spread across 256 descendants. But you're all there. You are all there in the great move forward. That is the other side of the middle that you are omitting to make your biased case, Scott Adams.
Generation. You can barely tell who contributed anything, right?
It's not because you can't tell. Like, having exponential effect into the sum of all human behavior down the line, being in 256 people of the future, just 5 generations down the line, is massive. It doesn't matter that you can't tell. The genes can tell. And the world can tell. The world will be different if you have these 256 descendants or if you don't. The world can be brown tomorrow. It can be white. It can be all sorts of things. It can be, I was seeing Asian AI, you know, underwear images on the Discord. Some guys have been starting to share these images to test me. Oh my God, they are beautiful. It would be a beautiful future. Half Asian, half white, AI generated porn.
And you've brought in all these outside people to be the people you marry. You're only a few generations from being irrelevant.
The you that you use here is not your genes. It's the you as an individual. But the you as an individual is always almost irrelevant. It's irrelevant that you have the particular combination of genes that you have. So there's a big cone of ancestors that lead down to you. And the genes are intersecting at the moment that is you, but then they're spreading out in another triangle of descendants. So the you really that you use here is a human you. It is an individual, I'm a person, I have a brain you. But if you consider that you are your genes, most importantly, and that you are in fact just the byproduct of these genes and their travel into the future, then you realize that the you that you talk about doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is this intersection of genes that eventually spreads out. But it spreads out in exponentially growing numbers of individuals.
The fact that you might have contributed some, you know, genetic raw material to somebody five generations down is so trivial.
It is not trivial. The whole idea is that the sum of these contributions is what leads to the difference between England and Zimbabwe.
And so unimportant that...
Well, you say it's unimportant, but you don't make a case. If it was unimportant, then I can take everyone from Zimbabwe, I can move them into England, I can take everyone from England, move them into Zimbabwe, and I will barely notice anything. Just the makeup that they sell at pharmacies may just be slightly darker or slightly lighter. There might be some adjustments with skin color, but if what you say is real, then it wouldn't matter if I switch populations like this. I would get England continuing to be England, and I would get Zimbabwe continuing to be Zimbabwe, even if filled with English people.
They shouldn't be part of your decision-making.
Well, it should be the only decision that matters. Because out of all the things that you do in life, the only thing that will have such an impact that you can say, hey, I have a significant contribution to 256 individuals in 120 years from now, or 100 years from now, that is something that you cannot do with anything else. You could have $1 billion right now. I challenge you to find a way to make that $1 billion resonate down the line 100 years later. That is hard. It's hard to even think of a way in which that wealth wouldn't dilute itself and wouldn't be mismanaged by someone. It's very hard to impact the future. Very hard. You want to try being an author? You have 99.9% chance that your book will not even make it through the first week in terms of a successful book, let alone 100 years later. But you just penis, vagina, tap, tap, tap. You just zing your penis into the right uterus, close to the right uterus. You inject your sperm, and that is done. You have impacted the future in a significant manner. There is nothing else like this. There is nothing else than the great equalizer of reproduction.
Yeah, your tiny little contribution to the gene pool will get washed and diluted to nothing after a few...
Absolutely not. It will be diluted, it will be spread, but it will be there.
A few generations anyway. So it really doesn't matter. I do think that we're designed or we evolved or we are created to want to reproduce.
And of course, we wouldn't evolve that way if it wasn't that it makes a difference. If it was so diluted that nature can't even tell, then why would we even care about our children? It's because caring about our children ensured more of our genes into the real world, and it's been going on for 4 billion years. You don't get evolution if there's no difference. You don't get evolution at all. If what you suggest that the randomization is so high that it's all blurred, then we would be all blurred in who we love and who we give our inheritance to. We're not. We give our inheritance to our children. We love our children. We love our wives. That is how it is. And it couldn't be that way if everything was random.
So if you're connected in any way to the reproductive process of society, I think you do find meaning. So you could be just working law enforcement. I think that's connected to reproduction.
No, it is connected to the extent that the law enforcement person is making money, which impresses a woman, which allows them to breed. That's how law enforcement is connected to reproduction.
Because if crime ran rampant, it'd be less reproduction probably.
Well, no, there would be more, but it would be parasitic. So you'd have pirates making a living out of just stealing cars from the highway or stopping people at stuff, which you kind of get in certain places. In places where crime punishment is too soft, you end up having this lifestyle develop. But yeah, law enforcement doesn't help reproduction. It helps a certain kind of reproduction, and it abolishes another. Law enforcement makes it so that we evolve in a world where there is natural selection for peaceful behavior. That is the world in which Europeans have lived for hundreds of years. Remove law enforcement and you have populations still reproducing, but they're evolving toward a criminal lifestyle because there's no punishment for being a criminal.
So there are lots of ways to be part of that reproductive chain.
Well, all of these parts where you contribute as a cuckold are not valid, because that whatever is the contribution of a cuckold, whether you care for the poor or you give to the homeless or whatever generous thing you think involves you in the reproduction of other is cuckoldry. And it is meant to disappear, and it will disappear with evolution, because it cannot be maintained. You are favoring the competitors to your own babies. So any sort of service you give to anyone who's not related to you is actually helping your disappearance with time. And eventually, all that's left are humans who care for their own babies.
But weirdly, and I know this seems upside down, the least important thing you could do is contribute your DNA.
Absolutely ridiculous. If you do not contribute your DNA, you do not contribute to anything that will survive the intergenerational barrier. That is, any system you can think of generosity and care and help, any cuckoldry of any kind. And I include in this saving people who are genetically unrelated to you, anything. Trying to dedicate your life to discovery and science and deciding not to have babies, but thinking that your science will help other people have babies. All of this will disappear through evolution, because you are having a behavior that is unfit. You are investing energy that doesn't lead to people like you maintained into the future. Rodita Sid says, with police present, you have accountants who reproduce. Without police, you have warlords and pirates reproducing. So police don't reproduce. They help one kind reproduce over another. Well, yes, for the beginning, but then police do reproduce. For police, it is just a job. So they do reproduce. I know policemen who have children.
Your DNA is the least important part of the whole process.
Absolutely false. If that was true, Zimbabwe and England, it wouldn't matter. I would give you a plane ticket to one of these two places, and you'd be like, Jeff, I really don't care. Give me one or the other, I'll go live there. No, you would care. You wouldn't go live in Zimbabwe. And that's because genes matter a lot. A lot.
Because there's plenty of DNA. We're not going to run out. You know, we don't need yours.
Oh, and this idea that we're not going to run out of DNA. Now, the problem, Scott, is so much graver. The problem is that we won't run out. We won't run out of bad ways to make up the human phenotype. We won't run out of parasitic DNA, of DNA of people who can't care for themselves, of DNA of low-quality people. We'll never run out, and that's not the positive you think it is. It's actually a very bad thing. That's the problem. The problem is differential reproduction. There's no question that there will be plenty of DNA on this earth no matter what we do in a billion years from now. I mean, no matter what we do, except the revolutionary phenotype. Except if we do this, then there will be no more DNA that's reproducing. But leaving aside the phenotypic revolution, there will be plenty of DNA. The question is, who will occupy the future? Will it be someone like you who can design cartoons, think with his head, who can analyze things of society and be clever in his contribution to society? Or will it be low-level, violent thugs? That is the question where it matters, and genes matter a lot in this.
We might need you to be a police officer. We might need you to, you know, work your job and make some money so everybody can eat. Eating's good. But your genetic contribution, that's magical thinking. Yeah.
Imagine being so deceived as Scott Adams is, that you don't see that with genes you have an impact down the line that spreads over all of the individuals of society eventually. You have an impact on hundreds of thousands of people down 20 generations. Hundreds of thousands of people are encoded with your genome inside of them. Imagine thinking, and that's 20 generations down the line, thousands of years down the line. Imagine thinking that this impact is small compared to what you do as a policeman. What you do as a policeman literally doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the day after you're done. Maybe you'll reach fame like a Derek Chauvin where, okay, people are going to talk about it still for maybe 20 years. It won't matter in 1,000 years from now. It won't matter in 1,000,000 years from now. And yet, the children that you will have left on this earth will matter forever, as long as any descendant of the human race still exists.
Yeah, you got some particles. Some parts of a gene will look like maybe they came from you in 4 generations, but it's irrelevant.
Well, it is not irrelevant, as I've made the case. If it was irrelevant, you wouldn't care about whether you live in the US or in Zimbabwe. And if I was to take the whole population of Zimbabwe and move them somewhere else, you also wouldn't care if you're going to live there. What if we're the bad guys here? Someone has shared this moment, by David Brooks, a Democrat elite. It's an article, a moment of realization, but it's very shy. It's very shy. So the person was asking, JF, do you think that's genuine? Is the left starting to consider they could be the bad guys? the thing is, in his effort to say, hey, you know, he tells very well and he diagnoses pretty well the story of how the left creates a narrative that they are the good guys. So basically, the left sees themselves as the savior of humanity. We are better at managing society in a fairer way, civil rights advancements, that kind of thing. And opposed to us are the bigots, the evil Republicans, the religious, the Christians, who are opposed to LGBT rights, that kind of stuff. And so he has a good understanding that this is a construction. This is the construction that leftists deceive themselves into. And he's asking, let me introduce you to another way of thinking. What if we're the bad guys? And he lays out some, like, realize, and he uses the term elite, but he means Jew. I think he means Jew. But he's in the New York Times, so he's not going to write Jewish. But I think when he says, look, I can make up a narrative in which we are the bad guys. I mean, we've taken young people, young males, we've sent them to Vietnam. We keep rooting for war. We've been imposing our ways of doing onto a nation that didn't want it. We've been presenting to a bunch of conservative people who lived conservative lives. We have led them toward degeneracy. But still, so it's very good that leftists are making this process of recognition that, hey, you know, there's a narrative in which you are the bad guy, in which you are hurting our society. But I don't think it's deep enough that I would respect it. Like, for example, he says, like all elites, we use language and mores as tools to recognize one another and exclude others. Using words like problematic, cisgender, Latinx, and intersectional is a sure sign that you've got cultural capital coming out of your ears. Meanwhile, members of the less educated classes have to walk on eggshells because they never know when we've changed the usage rule so that something that was sayable 5 years ago now gets you fired. We also change the moral norms in ways that suit ourselves, never mind the cost to others. For example, there used to be a norm that discouraged people from having children outside marriage, but that got washed away during our period of cultural dominance as we eroded norms that seemed judgmental or that might inhibit individual freedom. After this social norm was eroded, a funny thing happened. Members of our class still overwhelmingly married and had children within wedlock. People without our resources, unsupported by social norms, were less able to do that. As Adrian Wooldridge points out in his magistral 2021 book, The Aristocracy of Talent, 60% of births to women with only a high school certificate occur out of wedlock, compared with only 10% to women with a university degree. That matters, he continues, because the rate of single parenting is the most significant predictor of social immobility in the country. Does this mean that I think that people in my class are vicious and evil? No. Most of us are earnest, kind, and public-spirited. But we take for granted and benefit from systems that have become oppressive. Elite institutions have become so politically progressive, in part because the people in them want to feel good about themselves as they take part in systems that exclude and reject. See, the realization is almost there. But I don't think it's quite there. I think, oh, okay, that's a small comment on we push degeneracy into society, a lot of people have been affected by our propaganda, but we kept ourselves from falling for that propaganda. That is kind of a beginning of a reckoning, of a recognition of what the left has been doing. But it doesn't quite capture the full parasitic nature of what's happening here. The absolute hypocrisy of pushing cultural memes against those that pre-existed them and that had shown that they could pass the test of time, such as religion and mores around marriage, to be destroying all of this and to be not fully paying the price because you're well enough that maybe you guys are well enough, people like Brooks, well enough so that a divorce won't totally break them, so that they can afford to have a house for each of the member of the couple. But if you impose that on the poorer classes, it totally wrecks their life. That is just how toxic the destruction of the family is, especially when it's done from elites, because it has this hypocritical one standard for you, one for me type of result. So I think it's very good that he's asking these questions, but he hasn't reached a full understanding of the kind of racial attack that's been made against the white heterosexual lifestyle, and he barely touches the surface. Seattle, Washington, we have a conflict between this van, I don't know what happened because the movie starts there. But this van comes and starts breaking this car. So now the car is broken with his tire affected and he's pissed. Now look at the tire. The tire is completely wrecked. What the fuck is wrong with people using their car?
Oh, it's over.
For playing basically bumping cars.
They tripping.
And now this guy is trying to break the glass of this guy because he's pursuing him. But now the car cannot advance anymore. Tire is too broke. They tripping. The obligatory comment. A feature at this point of videos on social media. If you were unfairly treated by your employer due to posting or liking something on this platform, we will fund your legal bill. No limit. Please let us know. That's an interesting take from Elon. He wants to go at war with those people who are enemy of free speech. And he wants to do it even outside Twitter, in the law, in the court, so that the users of Twitter don't get harassed by these groups that will call your employer and that will tell them, hey, you should fire this guy. I love it. I love it because it will create a cooling effect, an intimidation effect against these organizations that basically just do this. They intimidate through cartel behavior. They keep you from having your normal employment that you would have because of some opinion that you have. All right, so these guys have weapons and they have realized that they were filmed by the Ring doorbell.
What was this?
Hold on. I take this bit.
Mix the drum in with the drum in.
Get the clothes out of here.
Well, it's a good thing that he had cameras. you don't want to open the door on these guys. It seems that Italians have had enough here. There is a migrant in Italy. He's going to come close to the car. He's going to tap on the passenger here, and the passenger will say, not today. And he comes back for more, and there's this other guy ready to beat him too. And this was all because this guy, apparently unprovoked, just tapped into the car or onto the car. We have people taking the defense of their property into their hands. Surya says, hi, Jeff. What can I say to other women to make them stop calling me by ridiculous labels such as darling or baby girl, etc., without me having to get rude in order to make them stop? I find such situations frustrating and undermining. Thanks. And I understand that you are asking this question as a woman. Surya, I will assume that this is the case because you said other woman. Because if a woman was to call me darling, I think that's totally fine. As a girlfriend of mine calling me darling, that's fine. But you are a woman, so it's more like, darling, let me tell you, darling, I'm going to explain this to you. Look, this is not my specialty because this is womanry. It's a whole science. I wouldn't know. There's no way you can tell them that without pissing them off. So if you just come to them and say, hey, can you stop calling me darling? You're going to piss them off. So it's like, now, even if this is not my expertise, I'm an intelligent guy. I can try developing a strategy for you and maybe you can test it and come back to me and tell me if that works. So here's how I would approach it. Oh my God, you're going to piss them off. I would try to slide it under the general normie and leftist very popular theme of consent. And you know, the whole pronouns and stuff. So perhaps if you approach them by saying, look, I want to share something with you, dear friend, woman. I want to share something with you. I don't want you to think it's grave, okay? Because I know there is much graver in the world. There are people who want to identify as woman and they get called him, and I find this particularly offensive. But I have a small problem of my own that I just wanted to express. I don't consent to being called darling. It is very triggering to me. I don't know. To me, it's a love word. It's something that I want to share. And baby girl also to me is, it's a parental to child relationship. And it's something that makes me feel uncomfortable. So would you be willing to not use darling or that kind of word with me? Just call me Surya. Surya, princess of the sun. My dignity, my honor, and my happiness is at play here. That is how I would approach it. I think that the modern leftist normie NPC woman would take that in, and she would be like, wow, I can do my part to make you feel better in life. And I will certainly take this into, because she will want to display her willingness to abide by your feelings and to, so that you feel heard. She's going to make you feel heard by correcting her behavior in the future. Surya says, yes, JF, Surya is sun in Hindi. Okay, I didn't know this. I just, to me, Surya kind of sounded like sunny or sun, and so it's like out of pure random I have invoked the princess of the sun pronoun, but it felt to me like it had something to do with the sun, but I didn't know it was an Indian thing. Gusparovsky says, making a golden real statue of someone is something human did before. My head can't wrap itself around the fact that nobody can build a Bitcoin statue of JF that he deserves. There is a lot in there to untangle. What are you exactly saying? Someone should make a Bitcoin statue? Or someone should make a statue of me and publish it as an NFT on Bitcoin, as a ordinal? Or are you saying that there should be a statue of Bitcoin given to me? I'm not sure which one of these three you mean, but I appreciate the sentiment. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy or Cointree. The links are in the description below. This morning I was saying it's pretty simple. The female will, left to its own, is to destroy civilization as it stands, with no serious plan to rebuild it in any recognizable form that could sustain the test of time. So either we find a way to influence our females toward a more sustainable future for civilization, or we will be replaced by groups that do that better than us. I'm looking at you, Muslims. That's in response to those saying, I secretly want to impose my preferences onto women. You're half right. You're just wrong about the secretly part. You know, there are people who don't know me. They don't know what I've been advocating for again and again on the public space for years. And so they see one of my tweets and they're like, I think that secretly you want to impose your will onto women. It's like, no, not really secret. I've been talking about this publicly for years. Notice how the white woman going into a craze at the airport still finds a way to destroy absolutely nothing and minimizes our invasion of the personal bubble of others. Furthermore, notice the lack of a build-up into a 30-person Royal Rumble, an exemplary performance here of, if you're going to be a crazy woman, how to limit the consequences of your craziness onto the world. she has the Tyrannosaurus Rex stare. The absolutely insane, but I believe it's in response to her flight getting canceled. Now, I was saying that she is white. People came to me and said, Jeff, she's not really white. In any case, she's white adjacent, and, you know, she may be Asian, she may be Hispanic, it doesn't matter. She's white enough for the purpose of comparison with an African. Niger has closed its airspace, breaking. There's this whole war going on around Africa. People were sharing this information. The coup belt, gold, zinc, copper, manganese, and Burkina Faso, Niger, uranium, oil, gold, coal, phosphates, iron ore, Guinea, diamond, gold, bauxite, phosphate, iron ore, gold, titanium, chromium, and platinum. Apparently, those would be the economic motivations that people claim explains conflicts in the region. I have no idea. I've not been following at all what's happening in Africa. I have very little super chats coming from Africa, so I tend to be less informed about this place. We saw some troop movements in Belarus, some relocation of tanks near Minsk. Is that indicative of a northern invasion? I don't know. But let's get started on Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk. So one of the things I am most anticipating, maybe it will be this year, I hope that it can be this fall, but whenever it happens, I am absolutely enthusiastic about this. The Elon Musk versus Zuckerberg fight is taking shape. 6'1" versus 5'8". Elon Musk definitely has the advantage of weight and height. Elon Musk has the advantage at the wealth level, being more than twice the worth of Zuckerberg. And Zuckerberg comes with the mere advantage of being built like an athlete, while Elon Musk is built like a 1950s fridge. But still, despite the fact that people, they put a lot of hope in Zuckerberg, I personally think that Elon Musk will take very seriously the training. I think that he truly wants to win. And I think that they will both come with truly a desire to win. But I think that Elon Musk will be able to outcompete Zuckerberg just based on weight. I think that if Zuckerberg cannot succeed at making this a cardio fight, if Zuckerberg doesn't have what it takes to defend against an aggressive Elon that approaches him, if he cannot place some super efficient punches, then what's going to happen is we're going to have a fight on the ground, and the weight of Elon Musk will just be too much for Zuckerberg to handle. And ultimately, I believe that Elon Musk can win this. Despite being a little bit more out of shape, I think that with some training, he's going to be enough to be able to focus on his weight advantage and use it in a wrestling match. People make a lot on the training of Zuckerberg in jiu-jitsu, but basically the training to jiu-jitsu is now a thing for all fighters. They basically all get the extended courses from all these jiu-jitsu coaches. And for $100,000 or $200,000, you can basically get a top jiu-jitsu performer come to fully train you in a couple of weeks. So I don't think that the experience of Zuckerberg in the jiu-jitsu domain cannot be undermined by Musk properly training for it. Zuck versus Musk fight will be live streamed on X. All proceeds will go to charity for veterans. Musk is saying it will be the first X video. So he's really thinking of launching his platform using this fight as a promotional event. I am super excited. He lifts weights throughout the day. Now, let me tell you, I've looked at one of the training sessions of Elon's. That is not enough. That is not enough, Elon. Let me show you here.
Let's find out. Let's see.
Hello?
No way.
What's your life?
Wait, I'm live.
Like,
what the?
Wait, that's crazy. I gotta see
this. Really?
Somebody,
hey, guys. You were on too. Welcome.
You get comments too. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Now, the Aryan shape of Elon is very interesting. It's a very bizarre upper body type of shape, completely different from the Semitic shape of Zuckerberg. And I think this will be a massive advantage in wrestling, equilibrium, balance, and putting pressure in the clinch. Oh my God, Elon, that is not enough.
Curling a 45.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Oh my so, God.
That is not go. Enough. No, Elon has to take more seriously constant training. It has to be intense. It has to hurt if you want to be, having an impact on your physiology. I'm worried about Elon's cardio. He should just be jogging. He should be punching bags. There should be punching bags in the various rooms where he's most often there, at Twitter or at whatever other company he manages. There should be a punching bag, and you go back to it 30 minutes. You take a break. You do your little management. You come back to it 10 minutes later, 30 minutes. You have to be overtrained at the cardio level to be able to take an opponent in the ring. So I hope that Elon does the right thing here. Just lifting weights while you do programming at Twitter HQ, that won't be enough. But I think he's going to get proper counseling, and I think he's going to get guidance. And ultimately, I think that he can tire Zuckerberg with his upper body advantage, height advantage. I don't know that Zuckerberg can have a good punch. Zuckerberg will have been overtrained in ground fighting, that kind of stuff. I don't know that Zuckerberg is capable of putting down Elon Musk with a hook. I don't know that he will have the precision, the speed. I don't know that Elon Musk can put up a good defense either. You know, I don't think that he's a master of footwork or displacement. But I think that Zuckerberg will just be too small and not muscular enough to give a good punch. And so ultimately, I think it will boil down to the weight advantage. That's why I'm betting on Elon. I'm even ready to put money on it. Because I've put money in those cases that I've been very fascinated about, like some Conor McGregor fight. I have put money on them. I'm ready to put a little bit of money on Elon Musk because I think it's a civilizationally important event. To me, it's like a little bit the movie 300. This whole idea of, you know, here's an army of slaves. That's Zuckerberg to me. The army of slaves coming from the Semitic world against the white resistance, a bunch of free soldiers who have joined an army voluntarily. To me, that is that is the fight of civilization that will happen. Dan Simmons says, so you're for the Jew? You may have a misunderstanding here. I've been very clear that I root for Elon Musk. Out of Elon Musk and Zuckerberg, I'm pretty sure that Zuckerberg has more Jewish genetics. You must have misunderstood me because I'm very clear. I root for Elon Musk. I think Elon Musk will win. I think that his weight advantage will play very well. Okay, he said, not you, Jeff. Okay, well, I thought you were saying... So you meant this message is not for you, Jeff. I thought you were saying, I can't believe that you just said this, Jeff. Not you. You've been had by the Zionist occupied government. Not you, Jeff. But okay, now that I understand what you meant is this message is not for you, Jeff. Oh my, but see the it was easily mistakable. Aristophanes says if the United States could be distilled into video format, this is what it would look like.
Grab the wood.
Okay, we have an African American unable to swim.
Shit. I think you better get in there.
Shit,
I think you better get in there, dude.
Come on!
Oh my God! What the fuck?
He gonna die.
I love that his fellow men are watching this and saying, "He gonna die. He gonna die." Oh my God! This is a different culture. Okay, white savior to the rescue.
He's gonna try to kill you.
Don't pull him down.
And the black man who's filming this says he's gonna try to kill you, which turns out to be a correct analysis. He is trying to use him as a podium to stay out of the water in a way that now threatens the life of the white man.
Pull him down! Just hold on!
Don't let him get out there, because that current gonna take...
Now he's getting underwater despite having the help of the white male.
His ass.
Nobody got a fucking stupid fucking
ass. He's gonna die in there.
Oh, they both...
He gonna die in there.
I ain't getting in that fucking water.
Holy shit, so much trouble for not knowing how to swim. It's very dangerous what the white man did there. Very not recommendable from a lifeguard perspective, because when you have someone who's already in distress, if you don't have some sort of a tool, they can drag you down for real, because they're at the desperate, like, oxygen lacking stage of kind of testosterone drive. And therefore, they are fighting harder than you for their lives. So while someone not under panic, it's very easy to hold them and you can both float. Someone in panic can kill you, even if you're an experienced lifeguard. So you need either a flotation device or you need a long pole with a rope at the end, and you can gather them like this, offer them help. But yeah, I don't know that I would jump. I would jump if it's someone whose life I consider more important than mine, such as children of mine. But I don't know that I would jump for someone that I don't know. I might just stay there and say, he gonna die. How are energy drinks draining your brain's power? They argue in this paper that caffeine gives you an illusion of momentary energy, but that really it's just draining in an unsustainable way your energy, and that ultimately there's a price to pay for the high of caffeine. I'm not surprised that that is I've never considered caffeine to be extra energy. It's definitely a release of some reserves, because what caffeine does is that it unleashes the reserves of calcium in your cells. So you have little pockets of calcium in your cells. Caffeine unleashes them. So it's a momentary activation. But of course, you just wasted your calcium reserves, and they need to be built back up. I agree, sugar will harm you more, says Dustin Diamonds. I agree, sugar, too much sugar, too much calorie, that is a big problem. Moscow airport temporarily halts flights after failed drone attack. So a couple of drones came to the airport, but they lacked much success in their performance. So just a momentary pause on the Moscow airport activity. Oregon allows self-serve gas. New Jersey is now alone in nanny state prohibition. So New Jersey is the last state in America because now Oregon allows self-serve. New Jersey is the last state in America where they say it's a crime to gas your own car. It's punishable by a fine of up to $500. But what dragged my attention on this article is just the beauty of this woman. Extremely long legs. Kind of Russian phenotype, Eastern European phenotype maybe. Holy shit. What a beautiful woman. I am all for self-serve of gas. Take matters into your own hand. Serve yourself your gasoline. We're Team Barbie. And I was like, based? You know, given my interpretation of Barbie, and you know, Justin Trudeau is a Canadian, so maybe he watches this show. If you take into account my interpretation of Barbie, which is that Barbie is this allegorical metaphor in which God tells women that they are baby makers and that they should assume their roles as baby makers, then going to the Barbie theater and being dressed all pink and rooting for Barbie, that would be a giga chad heterosexual move by Justin Trudeau. And so I think there may be something based here. Now, people were saying, is that his gay lover? Apparently, it is his child. Apparently, this would be the son of Justin Trudeau. What a phenotype, I mean. No hate. I'm not commenting in a negative way, but just from a biological dimension perspective, what a phenotype. Three things that I note. First, the structure of the upper teeth. Large separation between the two front teeth. And the jaw is... I think that the teeth are bigger. I think he has big teeth. Okay, that's the first thing I notice. Secondly, the hourglass shape of the body. Like, very large shoulder, very large hips, very tight belly level. This is almost feminine in terms of hourglass body shape. And then the nose of this guy. I notice a larger than normocentric nose. I'm not judging. I'm not saying it's bad to have a big nose, but and what, like, racially, he doesn't look white. It's like Justin Trudeau is white, his wife is white, but their child is Mexican or something, Cuban maybe. I'm dumbfounded. I would need 23andMe tests to know more, to tell you more. Because as a race scientist, I don't understand how you get from Justin Trudeau and his wife, Sophie. What was that her name? But now she's not his wife anymore. They're divorcing. How do you get to the Cuban phenotype from two white parents? I don't understand. U.S. responds by dispatching destroyers to China and Russia, sending a huge naval flotilla toward Alaska. Okay, some provocation, some destroyers showing, flexing their navies from one country to another. And as a last news item before I close the show, the largest dam removal project in U.S. history is underway. Once gone, workers and Native American tribes will plant billions of seeds to try and restore the land to what it was a century ago. Pretty amazing. Like, look at this. It's like they had to design a kind of side slide for water. And then they're deconstructing the dam. And then it's becoming this whole sand structure. I don't know. It's going to be hard to restore nature there. If there keeps having a flow of water, will they re-level the thing so that you can have a forest that is not inundated every year or so? I don't know, but it's quite impressive to think of this as a project. And just so that you can sleep well, I will share this photo of an image of a comforting mother. An image of safety, unconditional love, just so that you can sleep well and not have nightmares. Protect trans youth. My God. They have these vampiric seating teeth displays that are reminding me of my time with the monkeys. Thank you.